Well, I invite you to take your Bibles out, and we are going to be in Mark 9. For those of you who are new here, we are reading through the New Testament Monday through Friday, 5 days a week. If you read a chapter of the New Testament every day in a year, you'll read the whole of the New Testament. So you're invited to be a part of that if you'd like. There's an insert in your bulletin that shows you where we are in our readings. Don't worry that you're behind. Just start with, Mark 12, I think, on Monday is where we're going to be. Just start there and join in. If you want to follow along in a written devotion for each one of those, you can get either the devotion booklet out in the lobby, or you can go to lwinfo.org on your phone, go to Journey Through the New Testament, and sign up for the Journey emails on that, and you'll begin to receive those. We're in Mark 9, like I said, beginning at verse 33. When they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another, who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name." I can't help but think right now. John said to him, having not listened to anything Jesus just said, John said to him, John must have been 14. Sorry. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever observed children outside when it's rainy and messy and muddy? Children enjoy the mud, don't they? They like getting into the mud. When I was a child, before I think third grade, we moved to Chesterfield. So before that, we lived in Creve Coeur. Right two houses down from us was a park. And in that park was apparently one of the main water lines that led out of the St. Louis County Water Department. And it was not one of these water lines. It was one of these water lines, right? When you're a little kid, it's one of these water lines. And it burst. And it there was just mud in this huge mud puddle. I mean, to me at that age, it looked like a football field full of mud. And we went and played in it, of course. That's what kids do. They get in the mud, they play in the mud, and they enjoy the mud. And I think there's something to do with that connection between us and mud, us and dirt, that really attracts children. I think it comes actually from our created being. If you look in the book of Genesis, the second chapter, verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground," the mud, right? From the dust of the ground. Actually, did you know Adam literally means dust creature? Just a little piece of information for you. You can file that away. "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." There's something about our connection to the ground that we just love to be in the midst of it. And it doesn't entirely end when we're adults. Because several years ago, I ran in a Tough Mudder. I don't know if you know what this is. It was about 12 and a half miles of running. And in that 12 and a half miles were 15 obstacles, many of which were mud events. Here's a picture of me getting down into the mud, trying to get down. It was no problem getting into the mud. That was easy. And in that Tough Mudder, what I really like about the Tough Mudder is that I ran with a team. There was four of us, and it didn't matter what place you came in. There was no clock. It was not a timed event. They wanted you to finish the same day, but it wasn't a timed event. As a matter of fact, as my team of four would approach an obstacle, there would be people in front of us who just finished it, helping us over it. Let's go to the next picture. Here's a group of people trying to pull my tail out of the mud. The guy that's leaning down there, he was on my team. He's about 6'5", and they literally took him and put his ankle, hold him on his ankles, and put him way down in the mud, and he grabbed onto me, and they pulled him back as he pulled me up. And we did this throughout the whole thing. The people in front of you would help you, and then you'd turn around and help the others. And that's how the event works. It didn't matter who won or lost. At one point, we're coming up to this 12-foot tall wall that we have to scale. And most people can't do that alone. And the guy in front of us, my son's a paramedic, so he's used to looking at people and guessing their weight, right? My son said he weighed probably around 350 pounds. And we got him over that wall. The idea is everybody who participates finishes. It's not a competition. Even though I had my own team, everyone is your team. From the first person that starts the race to the last person to finish didn't matter. They had to have help. Even the first person had to have help getting ahead, getting over the obstacles. And I kind of really appreciated about that about it. It wasn't, we were in the mud and playing, and everybody got to be successful in it. And I think that idea of getting down in the mud and getting dirty, we don't grow out of it when we're children, but sometimes as adults, it's not as positive. When we get down and dirty as adults, it's no longer as positive. It just looks gross. We're in the middle of a sermon series called Do As I Do. And as you look at that sermon series, it's based on the book of Mark. And my recognition that you just finished Matthew, and Matthew takes his time telling stories about Jesus and what he said and what he did. And for 28 chapters of Matthew, you get to hear this grand story. And then you get to Mark. And Mark goes, and then Jesus did this, and then Jesus did that, and then Jesus did this, and then Jesus did that. And he sprints through 16 chapters, sprints to get the story of Jesus done. But as he tells the stories, I think what he's trying to do is share with the first followers of Jesus Christ and us today, if you want to be like Jesus, do as Jesus does. However, this sermon today, I thought a good name for it might have been Don't Do As I Don't Do. But the double negative just got confusing for me, so I thought I'd go with Stay Above the Fray. And I recognize that when we are in discussions about things, when we are in disagreement with one another, sometimes we get down in the mud and we throw it at each other. We tend to engage in mudslinging, and it doesn't always look very nice. And in that passage in Genesis, we're reminded that God's Spirit is breathed into us. What separates us from the mud of the earth is God's Spirit is within us. Breathe in. Breathe out. The only thing that separates you from the dust of the earth, what is it we say at funerals? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The only thing that separates you from the dust of the earth, from becoming a part of the mud, is the breath that God has given you. And yet, we too often want to forget about that breath and jump into the mud. But we have the spiritual ability to rise above it. If we try to follow Christ, we have the ability to rise above it. Prior to that passage today, Jesus is he's telling the disciples that he's going to be taken. He's going to go to Jerusalem, and they're going to arrest him, and they're going to beat him, and then they're going to kill him, and then he's going to rise again. And in the midst of that conversation, Jesus is like, okay, let's go to Capernaum. And as they're headed to Capernaum, there's a conversation going on. And I don't know if Jesus was in front of them and just wasn't paying attention, or if he's behind them and they're walking ahead and he can't hear what they're saying. He just knows that they're arguing with each other. And they get to this house in Capernaum, and as they're there, Jesus says to a few of them, hey, what was the argument about? They don't want to say. There's silence because they don't want to tell Jesus that they were throwing mud at each other, arguing about who's the greatest and who's not so much. And Jesus calls them all together. He says, guys, teaching moment. And he says, you know, if you want to be great, you got to be the least. You got to serve people. That's what it means to be great. As a matter of fact, he says, let me show you what it means to be great. And he grabs a child and he puts that child in their midst. And he says, you got to be like this. You have to welcome one like this. And I think what he's talking about, we confuse all these passages about Jesus taking a child and says, you know, welcoming the child or to become like a child. In this instance, I think what Jesus is talking about, it's not exactly invite children into our worship and things like that. What Jesus is talking about in this moment is we've got to be like children in the way that we relate to one another. Yesterday, Nancy and I took our oldest granddaughter to the Daniel Boone Library. Has anybody been there? Daniel Boone, have you been to the children's area? I had more fun than my granddaughter. It is cool. It really is. And so we're walking through the library stacks on the way to the play area, and she grabs a couple books that we later read. But then you get it to the play area, and here's what I witnessed. I witnessed what I surmise to be Jewish kids and Muslim kids and Christian kids playing together. What I witnessed was, I'm pretty sure I can see some of this. I'm not real good at it, but I'm pretty sure some of them were Chinese and some of them were Japanese. If you know anything about those two cultures, they don't get along so well. And there were children from India, Afghanistan, that sort of region that I could recognize, and there were Eastern European that I could recognize. Every different nationality was represented in that playroom. And the only injury I saw happen is when one of the twins hit the other one with a play phone. And I figure that doesn't count because they're doing that every day at home anyway. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about in that passage. Never mind that we're different. Play nice. Don't get in the mud and sling it at each other. Play nice. Jesus doesn't get down into the dirt with his disciples as they're trying to argue about things, about who's the greatest. He stays above the fray and hopes to bring people to this higher level of relationship. An understanding of the nature of life and leadership. Leadership's not about climbing to the top. It's about humbling yourself to a mission, Christ's mission in the world. Those who want to be considered number one in the reign of God need to approach life from a position of humility and service. In the very next story that follows, where I said I don't think John paid attention to anything, John asks, hey, there's some guys over there that are doing things, and we tried to stop them, but we didn't have your backing on this. If you'll back us on it, we'll stop them. We'll put a halt to it. Want us to do that, Jesus? He was wanting to use the authority of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the name of Jesus, to say to these other people, you're not part of our church, therefore you don't speak for Jesus. You're not with our inner circle. Therefore, you can't do things in the name of Jesus. And once again, Jesus doesn't get dragged down into the mud. And I can't help but think of that story and think about what's going on in downtown St. Louis right now. And I don't mean theoretically. I mean at this moment, the United Methodist Church, with nearly 1,000 representatives from all over the world, looking a lot like the library that I saw yesterday. Representatives from all over the world are meeting to determine, to discern the United Methodist position on issues of human sexuality in the church. And I've been following it. Yesterday was prayer and worship time. Today, the meetings start. They literally hit the agenda this morning. And it'll be concluded Tuesday evening. And I've been following some of the posts on Twitter and on Facebook, and I recognize that United Methodists are in the mud. And you know who's right outside affirming everything that we're fighting about? Making sure that we keep it in the mud? Westboro Baptist Church is down there helping things out. I might have mentioned this before. I met a guy that was a Baptist years ago, and something had happened in the news, and the Baptist church got a black eye over it, and I was talking to him about it, and he said, you know, now the world knows what we don't stand for. I wish they knew what we do. And I see it also in our political parties and in our daily conversation. I was talking to some teachers the other day, and they said to me that over the last several years, they've just watched as students have ratcheted up the level of disrespect they give teachers and give leaders in the schools. These were elementary school teachers I was talking to. I mean, we expect some pushback. As you enter your teen years, you tend to push back on rules. We expect that. We see it coming. We know it's going to happen. It's never appreciated, but we know it's going to happen. But we're talking about elementary school students, and where do you think they learn it? Where do you think they get it? And I bet if you called their parents in, they would tell their children, shame on you. You're not supposed to disrespect people. But where do you think they learned it? Where do you think they get it? Jesus doesn't get dragged down into the mud. He recognizes that those people that are doing things in his name have taken the initiative to do it. They didn't wait for some church program on evangelism or salvation or mission. They said, we've heard what Jesus said. We saw what he did. He said these things. He told us, go and do it, and we went and did it. And Jesus said, they're not against us. They're for us. They may have a different way of doing it. They may have a different way of saying it. They may have a different way of living it out, but they're not against us. How much of those issues of mudslinging are because we feel like it's an ego thing? We feel like we need to be number one in the kingdom. So we sling mud. And it's not what the disciples wanted to hear, I'm sure. Maybe they had too much mud in their ears. And we've talked about this before, and I talk about this with people all the time, that yes, we have the great benefit of seeing the story after it happened. The disciples don't get it maybe because they're in the middle of it. They still need a resurrection to have it clear to them. And yet I always look at the disciples and go, how do you miss the point? They love the mud. They love to get down and dirty. And then in chapter 10, and the issue is still there. There's another issue about being great because we love to have our egos stroked. And we read in Mark 10:15, when Jesus hears them arguing some more, truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. He reinforces this childlike understanding. And then in 10:37, James and John come up to him, and they said, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand, in your glory. They want to be great again. Want to make sure that we're elevated above everybody else. And by the way, there's ramifications for that. Not that they just want to be special next to Jesus. They want to be special above everybody else. And in verses 42 and 45, Jesus addresses it once again. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And I still wonder if we get it today. I still wonder if we don't have mud in our ears and just aren't paying attention and aren't listening. And Christ invites us to step up and to get out of the mud, to recognize that it is dust that God created us. That's our composition. You can turn to that next photo. There's my team. Those shirts that three of us are wearing were white when we started. Dust, mud, dirt, that's our composition. There's nothing on earth that is other than part of who we are. When we die, we become mud. We just become one with the ground. But it's the breath of God that gives us life. God gave us our first breath, and God will give us our last. And our task as followers of Jesus Christ is to be clear about what separates us from the mud, not to become one with it. Amen. And amen.